Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Hey, Doc, thanks for joining us again. How are you today?
Doing well, sir. I will now forever think of you every time I hear the term pork belly with that joke.
That one will be played back probably Friday on our Best Of segment. Would you endorse that, sir?
1,000%.
Anytime I can make a doctor laugh, I feel like I'm doing something right. It would seem to me like your jobs are pretty stressful. I wonder, is there a stress quotient like our doctors here and talk show hosts are there and teachers are there? What do they say about your line of work?
I'll tell you, always got to inject some humor in your day. It goes a long way. So, yes, we all have stress, but I'll tell you, you got to learn how to manage it. We talk about a lot physician burnout at times, and it really is important to inject that humor, be real, be personable. That's how you avoid all that.
Boy, the ER doctors, I know one pretty well or have over the years, and to me that would be the most maybe rewarding but also difficult field. What do you think of that, Doc?
Each field has its pluses and perhaps a few minuses. It can be quite stressful and hectic at times. It's not quite like the shows The Pit or ER on TV, although we do encounter many of those things, just not in a 24-hour period.
Yeah, not every day. Although if you are delivering babies, what joy you bring into the world every day. But then I guess that's fraught with complications too, right?
And fraught with a big of high stress moments as well.
Yeah.
But it still is one of the coolest experiences you can ever have as a physician.
What is the story on Lindsey Graham? I know you're not his attending physician, but what can we have learned just in general about what we believed struck him?
So the reports that I saw was he probably had something called an abdominal aortic aneurysm, or triple A. And an aneurysm is an outpouching in one of your blood vessels. And the danger with a triple A is when they rupture, with your aorta being a big blood vessel, you literally can lose most of your blood volume within minutes. And it is usually a catastrophic type of event. Sometimes they will kind of wall themselves off, but pretty much it's something that needs to be dealt with immediate type surgery to have a chance for survival. When we identify them, there are certain types of surgeries where you can go in and replace that area of the aorta with a graft, because we will often identify them sometimes incidentally when you're getting a scan or imaging procedure for something else, or if it starts leaking a bit without rupturing. But the bottom line is, like with many other things, don't ignore severe type symptoms. They're usually not just going to go away by themselves.
What would a symptom be?
That usually it can be abdominal pain, abdominal discomfort, sometimes some chest discomfort, but it appears in Lindsey's case, he really didn't have much warning about it, that it just kind of exploded, if you will, and he suffered a catastrophic consequence.
No way he could know, maybe nothing you could have done, nothing he did wrong, you know, I suppose. Is that a congenital thing?
No, it's something that typically happens over time. Just like you can get some calcium deposits or hardening of your arteries, these are things that will develop over time.
But are you saying that my habits might lead me to developing that condition?
Not necessarily, but yes, it can be associated with being obese, smoking, excessive drinking, things that we know typically cause cardiovascular disease, they can be associated with it.
Yeah. One last thing about all of that. Is it very common? Like, I wonder if sitting here right now, I want to go in and get a scan. I want you guys to look at my things and go yes or no. What about that?
No, it's not something that we typically screen and look for unless very high-risk situations or associated with some of the warning-type symptoms.
Folks are still talking about tick season and that it seems to... I saw a heat map. Illinois is not the worst spot, but we're not immune to this here by any stretch. How bad is it, and what do you have for us on that topic?
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
There's a lot of them out there, and it really is, be cautious when you're going walking around in bushes, tall grassy areas. Those that like to golf, try and hit your ball in the fairway. Avoid going out in the big rough or festoon type areas. If you're taking your pets on a walk, be careful. If they start to wander off and you go after them, make sure you check your pets when they come back for ticks as well, because they are really quite prevalent. And we know that there are going to be cases, unfortunately, of Lyme disease and then a few of the other rarer types of diseases that can be spread by the different ticks around.
Is that a red meat allergy one of those rare type of problems?
Yes, and that's something that's been recently identified. That is with the Lone Star tick, which kind of got its name by identifying it with a single white spot on its back. And that comes from the Lone Star, if you get bitten, transmitting something called alpha gal. Alpha gal is a protein-like molecule that is in the saliva of the tick. And humans typically don't have any alpha gal. So if the tick bites you and injects some of that alpha gal into you, you can develop an allergy. And unfortunately, alpha gal is pretty prevalent in red meat and beef and pork.
Oh.
And so if you develop that allergy, you may have mild symptoms when you eat any of those things, but you can also develop a severe, what's called anaphylactic type reaction, similar to people that have bee stings, wasp stings, nut allergies, etc. And that can absolutely be life-threatening.
Man, imagine just how different your life would be if one day you can eat meat and the next day meat might actually be the last meal you have. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, fortunately, again, there are warning signs that can develop. But people need to be aware, if you're eating meat and all of a sudden you feel your lips tingling, your throat itchy, you start coughing a little bit, clearing your throat, those are all signs of a potential allergy. You can get tested for that, but unfortunately, it typically results in then avoiding red meat and beef and pork. It's not common. But if it happens to you, it doesn't matter how common.
Yeah, no kidding. It's 100% me if I have it. Cyclospora, that's a new one we've learned a little bit about, more than we want to know. What's your helpful information about that?
Way more than we want to know. You know, it was interesting, literally about an hour ago, came across my desk a update bulletin from the CDC. So the cyclospora is a parasite, and we get this particular parasite from eating contaminated food or drinking contaminated water. And that contamination, unfortunately, is with feces or stool from somebody that contaminated those products. Typically in a summer, the CDC would say we'll see 250 to 300 reported cases. And so far, since I think it's May 1st, we've had 1,600 confirmed domestic cases and over another 5,000 cases that are cyclospora but waiting for domestic confirmation. And what that means is they're going to interview the people and make sure they haven't had any type of foreign travel. It's important for the listeners to know this is not passed person to person. It's by eating contaminated food or drinking contaminated water. They've not really identified a common source at all from this. There was a report yesterday in Michigan where there was a huge cluster of cases potentially linking it to lettuce and green leafy vegetables. But just think, if you go interview 500 people and say, boy, have you eaten lettuce within the last two weeks?
Right.
You're going to find a lot of them. There is no common thread to a certain source of those things.
And
so right now, caution when you're eating green leafy vegetables. Wash it really well. Other foods that have been associated with it in the past, cilantro, basil, green onions, snow peas, and beautiful red, delicious red raspberries. That, because raspberries are pretty hard to clean. I think most people probably rinse them in the sink, but really don't scrub them at all.
Yeah.
So caution right now on all those things.
All right, we'll leave it at that, but that's interesting. So it's not the sort of thing you're going to cook off. Like if it was meat and you just cooked it to a high enough temperature, you'd kill the pathogens. But
actually, you can. So cooking, but most people are not cooking their salads and snow peas, et cetera.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it can cause a lingering month-long, pretty nasty gastrointestinal illness.
That's cyclospora. All right, doctor, we'll leave it at that today, but ask you and your colleagues to continue to monitor that for us. That's Dr. Michael Bauer, Medical Director, Northwestern Medicine's Catherine Gratz Griffin, Lake Forest Hospital. Thank you, doctor. Always nice to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, John. Have a great rest of the day and stay cool.